You might wonder how Jabbo got his name. Well, the poor guy was originally named Cladus Smith after a cousin Gladys born a few days earlier. His mother, a struggling single parent who couldn't properly care for him, sent Cladus to an orphanage at age 6, and it was there that friends nicknamed him Jabbo after an ugly Indian in a silent Western film. Jabbo was raised the next 10 years of his life at the Jenkins Orphanage in Charleston, South Carolina. It was among the largest and most successful in the South. During the 4.5 decades from its founding in the 1890s, some 5,000 children passed through its ranks. And while the rules and training were strict, 6 a.m. prayers and whippings for misbehavior, it did provide a thorough musical education for youngsters like Jabbo. Its touring bands, playing ragtime, military marches, light classical, sacred and popular music, were a major source of its income. Jenkins was at one time known as the Jazz Nursery because so many musicians received their basic musical education there, among them trumpeter Cat Anderson of Ellington fame, trombonist Geechee Fields, clarinet player Peanuts Hucko, and drummer Tommy Benford. By the time Jabbo left in 1925, it had 5 touring bands that provided publicity and income, and for guys like Jabbo, musical training and connections to the music business. Jabbo graduated himself, as you put it, early from the orphanage by running away at about age 15 or 16. He was soon working in Charlie Johnson's Paradise Orchestra, a top-notch band then playing both Atlantic City and Harlem hotspot Ed Small's Paradise. Jabbo doubled on trombone in a very good band of skilled pros like trumpeter Sidney DeParis and saxist Benny Waters and Benny Carter. But Jabbo was young and cocky. He demanded from Johnson the highest pay in the band. He was undisciplined, chased women, and showed up late for jobs. Shortly after Charlie Johnson's second record date, Jabbo blew off a gig, badly upset Johnson, and was fired. Next came Jabbo's brief encounter with Duke Ellington. Bubber Miley, Ellington's first chair trumpeter and a plunger mute specialist, was sick. Duke hired Jabbo for a recording session. Even though Jabbo's own horn was stolen the night before the session, he acquitted himself well, playing on an unfamiliar horn with what was actually the wrong mouthpiece for him. Featured on Bubber's specialty, Black and Tan Fantasy, Jabbo was given 3 solos on the record. Duke was impressed and offered him a job at the Cotton Club for $90 a week. But as Jabbo later said, quote, "By that time, everybody claimed I was the best in New York, and I was getting $150 a week." So Jabbo foolishly blew off Duke and his Cotton Club gig. It was 1927, and Jabbo was young. He was partying, had talent, and a reputation. He was hired for the orchestra of the hot musical review Keep Shufflin'. There, he was working with the show's creators, Fats Waller and James P. Johnson. In early 1928, Jabbo was part of a quartet from Shufflin' Along, invited to record a couple of tunes from the show for Victor Records. It was a one-of-a-kind group with James P. Johnson piano and Fats Waller on the Camden Studio huge pipe organ that he loved so well. Jabbo was traveling with Keep Shufflin' when it closed in Chicago in late 1928, and he decided to stay there. In Chicago, he sat in with Satchmo, and they even talked about teaming up, though nothing came of it. Soon, Louis left town to tour, and opportunities opened up all over town for Jabbo. He became house trumpeter at Sunset Cafe. He was hired by bandleaders Erskine Tate and Charles Elgar, who had featured Louis. And he was in demand to play with other headliners like Tiny Parham and Earl Hines. In 1929, Jabbo made his famous Rhythm Aces records, modeled on Louis' Hot Five, and was enjoying his greatest success. He even had an outstanding but short-lived band of his own that never made records. It had top-notch musicians, including bassist Milt Hinton. Hinton later recalled Jabbo fondly, saying that he was on a par with Louis. He was just as exciting, although he wasn't playing the same kind of thing. By all accounts, it was a good band, with Scoop's Carry on reeds, and Casino Simpson, a first-rate pianist and terrific arranger, writing most of that band's stuff. Casino Simpson was a weird cat. He was fanatical about piano. He'd play incessantly all day and night, named all his tunes after soul foods. And on the bandstand, he had a disgusting habit. He'd smoke a cigar down to the stub, then put it in his mouth and chew on the butt for 15 or 20 minutes before spitting out what was left. And he went insane a few years later. But once again, Jabbo's bad habits caught up with him. Milt Hinton said that he goofed. We played the second season with Cass Simpson as leader. Sometime in the early 1930s, Jabbo moved to Milwaukee, where he ended up living the rest of his life. Milt Hinton said of Smith's declining career, quote, "His attitude hurt him. He had delusions of grandeur. He was a nice-looking guy, and he'd always get mixed up with women. If he made enough for drinks and chicks in any small town like Des Moines or Milwaukee, that would suffice," unquote. Jabbo was largely out of the limelight in the 1930s and 40s, although he did work with Sammy Price and Sidney Bechet. With Claude Hopkins, he recorded and toured extensively. But Jabbo wasn't the star anymore. By the 1950s, Jabbo had taken a full-time job in Milwaukee with Avis, the car rental company, and had a family. He still played, though, wrote music, and seemed to hope for some kind of professional comeback. In the mid-1960s, record collectors tracked Jabbo down to ask him about reissuing the Rhythm Aces records. People who had thought Jabbo dead began to hear of him again. In 1968, Gunther Schuller dedicated 5 pages of his landmark book, Early Jazz, to Jabbo's greatness, calling him a musician's musician with a vivid imagination, formidable range, and endurance comparable to Satchmo. After 20 years in the wilderness, things were looking up for Jabbo. Articles, interviews, reviews, and discographies appeared in a dozen prestigious publications, including Downbeat, The New York Times, Cadence, and The New Yorker magazine. So in the late 1970s, Jabbo came out of retirement.
Hey, Jabbo Smith.
Over the next decade, he was invited to jazz festivals in Brussels, Breda, Berlin, The Hague, Monte Carlo, New York, and was playing professionally again. In 1979 came the high point. He was featured in a vaudeville jazz musical show called One Mo' Time, singing and blowing his own new and original tunes. The One Mo' Time show ran 2 years in New York, Philadelphia, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C. One reviewer declared that the real star of the show is Jabbo Smith. The moment he takes the stage, we feel something of the elegance, sexiness, good humor, and authority which were the hallmarks of the black vaudeville entertainers of those years. Jabbo was back on top. Thank you.